All right, thanks, Kelly. By way of introduction, I'm located with the University of Illinois down in the southern third of the state, covering the Dixon Springs Agricultural Research Center and the Brownstown Research Center. My co-author on this is Carl Hart, who's my research associate at the Dixon Springs Center. As way of background, just to give you a little bit of our background, over the last 4 to 5 years, we've switched from the old yield-based nutrient calculator to what we call the corn nitrogen calculator for Illinois. And this came about because of several problems with getting farmers to recognize how economics plays a part into how you pick your fertilizer rate. As price of nitrogen kept going up, farmers didn't recognize that they couldn't afford to put as much fertilizer on to get the yields that they were getting at the time. The other thing that came about in southern Illinois, we recognized long ago that the yield-based calculator was not working for us because we were putting on too little nitrogen in our area, because we do a lot of no-till farming down there and we get a lot of denitrification nitrogen losses. So under typical farm situations, we were finding that it took 1.5 to 1.6 pounds of nitrogen per bushel, and our calculator was based on 1.2 pounds of nitrogen per bushel. And some other things associated that we'll go through here in a minute. But so when we came out with this calculator, we wanted to separate the state into the northern, central, and southern parts, because the soil types in southern Illinois were just not similar to central and northern Illinois. Most of them are lower organic matter soils derived from forests. We also recognized that the old recommendation in Illinois of using a 40-pound credit for soybeans was no longer working for us. And so then we came in with the separate recommendation for corn after corn versus corn after soybeans to account for that. And I'll show you more on that just in a minute. Again, we're employing economics in this, and we're using more current database, but we're constantly changing these databases to keep up with the times. The other thing about southern Illinois is about two-thirds of the wheat in Illinois is grown in southern Illinois, and most of those wheat acres are followed by double crop soybeans. So there becomes a researchable question of, does corn after these double crop soybeans behave the same as corn after full season soybeans? The other thing about southern Illinois is we never get that code, so we're never able to put fall nitrogen on and keep it around for the spring. And this actually presents some advantages to us, because we can vary our rates in the spring. Once you put it on in the fall, you've already chosen your rate and you can't adjust it at all. Well, we can adjust our rate in the spring, and the question became whether or not corn planting date would affect yield, and we know that that does, but does that affect the amount of nitrogen that's required? So our researchable questions for this particular talk is, does corn after double crop soybeans behave the same as corn after full season? Does corn planting date affect the recommended rate? Do these two items interact? And then how does the yield of the previous crop affect our nitrogen recommendation? Now, for those of you that want to ace the final and not hear the rest of the talk, here's the quick answers. Yes, most of the time, maybe, no, and no. So that's all you need to know for the final. Those of you that want to hear the rest of the story, here's the nitrogen rate calculator. It is held on the Iowa State website, but I can assure you that for Illinois, we're only using Illinois data to make these recommendations. I chose here to use $5 corn price, 50 cent nitrogen. And so my recommended rate is based upon that. Again, I chose southern Illinois. You can see there's 106 site years of information now going into this model. And these are only the responsive site. It does not include the dozen or so non-responsive sites. So you can see there our recommendation for Southern Illinois is right around 172 pounds per acre or 193 kilograms per hectare. But the also on the next line down, that's the range. And we put a range in there because we operate at the kind of at the top of these yield curves or near the top, and so a small change in nitrogen does not affect the profitability all that much. So we wanted farmers to have a little bit of flexibility on their farm to, you know, if they're using an inhibitor or if there's some other management deal that they're doing that they think they get more efficient use, like side dressing, then they can operate at the lower end of that range. But if they feel like their soil has more leaching, it's more sandy, they're putting nitrogen on too early in the spring, they know that, and so they want to put a little bit higher on, they have that flexibility. And then if they miss the mark, it's not going to hurt them that much economically. So this is the rate for corn after soybeans. You can see, look at the 172 pounds per acre, and then look at corn after corn. It only went up about 16 pounds. So that's now our soybean credit for Southern Illinois, okay? 16 pounds nitrogen more for corn after corn than corn after soybeans, or 211 kilograms per hectare now is our new rate for corn after corn. And I think the point I want to make here is I think we in Illinois are getting a lot more comfortable and maybe even a little bit better at growing corn after corn. And so we're making that system work now in Illinois. Maybe the companies are giving us better genetics to make it work. But anyway, I think that the gap is closing. And I mentioned earlier to my brother that in central Illinois, the gap is completely closed. The recommended rate for corn after corn is exactly the same now as corn after soybeans. So anyway, let's get into our methods. We had basically previous crops with some planting dates involved. We had full season soybeans planted late April to mid-May. Then we planted about 2 weeks later just to have a second date to try to get a yield difference in our soybeans previous crop. So there they were planted mid-May to early June. And then we had a double crop soybeans coming planted after wheat, and that usually occurred mid to late June. And then we also included a full season corn crop as a previous crop, and that was always planted at about the time we normally plant corn in Southern Illinois, late April to early May. Our corn planting dates then would be superimposed on each of those four previous crops. We had early planting date, April the 17th to 23rd was a range that occurred over a three-year period at both locations. Our moderate rate was usually a couple to 3 weeks later, May 5th to 14th, and then late planting, May 23rd to June 5th. Our nitrogen rates, you can see there, 60-pound increments up to 240 pounds, and those are the conversions then to kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. And most of us are hopefully familiar with how those convert, because I didn't always get that conversion made on my graphs that I'm getting ready to show you. Again, our locations in Southern Illinois, the Brownstown Research Center is a Sisney silt loam soil, has a clay pan, a shallow rooting system, usually an acid subsoil. And so we have conditions there that do not promote corn growth very well. And usually we have periods of drought there where the corn roots are not getting sufficient moisture. And then Dixon Springs in the southern part of the state, Grantsburg silt loam soil, that's a frangipan, but it's a much deeper frangipan and usually fairly productive as long as we don't get too dry. And I just threw this in as a reminder to myself, most of these plots were side dress nitrogen applied. You can see the knife tracks through there. But also just to show you the difference of how the corn looked at about the side dress application. Corn after corn on the right, you can see there is a little bit nitrogen deficient. That's because not so much that we got the nitrogen released from the soybeans, but we don't have as much nitrogen tie up by the soybean stubble as we do with the corn stubble. So I think it's more immobilization that you're seeing here than nitrogen, free nitrogen in the soil. We'll look first at our soybean yields, bushels per acre, axis on the left, the megagrams per hectare, axis on the right. And then those are the planting dates across the 3-year period at the two locations. You can see we had the pretty good soybean yields in some of the years and some fairly poor yields, especially out towards the mid to late June period, and those would have been the double crop soybean yields. But overall, you don't see a lot of differences in yield related to planting date. That curve is fairly flat there. And here I just switched the yield to relative yield for the particular year, and you can see that really planting date doesn't affect this that much on soybean yield until we get out into the mid to late June period, where we have the double crop soybean situation, but a little bit drier weather at that particular time of the year. So did previous soybean yields affect the economic optimum end rate in this study? And I think the answer is no. I could have drawn a line. The blue spots there are the Dixon Springs location, the red squares are the Brownstown location. I could have drawn a line through the Dixon Springs, but it was heavily influenced by just one factor down there, the about a 28 pound per acre economic optimum end rate, and that actually occurred with a late planting date and a very poor yield associated with that. So I'm reluctant to put a line in there, and I think it's more of a problem, or it's more of the answer would be that no, previous soybean yield does not affect our economic optimal end rate. There's a lot of other factors, I think, that does. Okay, at Dixon Springs, we basically were able to fit a quadratic plateau model to our data sets. This is a 3-year average. I'm not going to show you any of the single years because they all look pretty much the same. And what I wanted to show here is the blue being the full season soybeans and the medium planted soybeans. That line was exactly the same, so I just combined them together in one data set. And then compare that to double crop soybeans, and you can see that with that, the red line, it's very close to being the same relationship. So basically what it says is that Dixon Springs, you know, our planting corn after double crop beans did just as well as planting corn after full season soybeans. But you can see there we do take a yield cut when we put corn after corn down in that area. If we look at our Brownstown data, this is, first of all, I'll point out how much lower the yields were here. Can I go back? You can see here we're operating at almost at 10 megagrams per hectare on our yields, and here we're down to about 6 megagrams per hectare. Again, a much drier climate up there during the 2 years that we had studies there. And what's really amazing is that the corn after corn out-yielded the corn after soybeans at most of the nitrogen rates. And the corn after soybeans and the corn after double crop soybeans, they crisscrossed, but there really wasn't a lot of differences showing up there. But what it looks like to me is happening is that we're, because it's been relatively dry there, that perhaps having the corn residue and the wheat residue left on the surface under no-till, that perhaps we're maintaining more soil moisture there, so we're getting a better relationship with nitrogen uptake because there's more moisture there to support nitrogen uptake. All right, this is a little bit busy, and what I did was separate each location out. So if you're a splitter, you can look at your particular location, but if you're a lumper, you can look at the average down there at the bottom as being kind of the model that would be used for Southern Illinois. Again, at Dixon Springs, we fit the quadratic plateau model. At Brownstown, we use a quadratic-only model. And then for the average across location, I use quadratic plateau. Those are the three previous crops that I pulled out. And you can see that the optimum end rate for corn after soybeans and corn after double crop soybeans at Dixon Springs was the same. The yield was virtually the same, and the nitrogen use efficiency was the same. So that seemed to be a pretty good indication that we're okay with following double crop soybeans with our recommendation. The corn, on the other hand, actually had a lower nitrogen recommendation or a lower economic optimal N rate. So it's kind of puzzling in this case that we were able to see that, because normally you would think that corn after corn would have a higher nitrogen need. Brownstown, because of the dry weather, we seem to bounce over the board a little bit more. The corn after double crop soybean didn't quite do as well as the corn after soybeans as far as economic optimum N rate and the efficiency. I mean, it actually did better, but the numbers were different is what I meant to say. Okay, quickly looking at planting dates, surprisingly at Dixon Springs, we saw no differences in the late planting as what we thought we might. The first two planting dates behaved almost exactly the same. At Brownstown, this is more of what we thought we would see at Dixon Springs, the late planted corn, much lower yielding than the early and medium planting dates. And it did affect the nitrogen rates. I'll show that here relatively quickly, but you know, those optimum N rates are really not all that different, about 20 kilograms per hectare between the early and the late. So you could modify it if you wanted to, but all of these fall within the range of what the website calls for when you look at the economics. So I'll summarize by saying, under the high yield condition, this is more of the Dixon Springs conditions, corn after double crop soybeans behave much like corn after soybeans. The planting date was not as critical as the previous crop was in determining nitrogen responses. You could say the later planting had a slightly lower economic optimal N rate, but lower yielding. Under the low yield environment at Brownstown, other factors such as soil moisture, I think, affected the economic optimum N rate much more than did previous crop, other than the previous crop affecting soil moisture. It wasn't a direct relationship with the previous crop. And then their planting date was a little bit more, sporadic there because, I think the weather conditions really hurt us at that location. All right, Kelly, I'm done. First time for a quick question.
Due to time constraints, we'll hold off questions.
Okay.
Let's give Steve a round of applause.